It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we dive into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Savior of My Life. This is by yours truly, Carla Nivens. It's off my CD, True Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
Hey!
everyone, I hope you enjoyed Savior of My Life. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out all of the great information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org. You can go to all the tabs there. We have a couple of things coming up. Actually, this summer we have our retreat that we take our teenagers on. So if you're interested in that, get some information about that. And also we have our Easter egg hunt coming up right before Easter. So if you're looking for a great place to volunteer for you and your family, get the information about that from loveministriesbuilds.org. Well, I'm very excited today. I'm always very excited. We always use the word excited, but I'm especially excited today because my guest is my cousin, Monica Wellington.
Hi.
Hey, Monica. Say hey to everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Monica is my first cousin. Her mom and my dad are siblings. Her mom is older. I think my dad's a baby, right?
Yes.
So my dad's the baby. And Monica has been married for 9 years, and they have a very fun and lively and playful household with 3 children, 6 and under.
Yes.
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 And they are back to back.
17 back to back months to apart. Yep.
Yeah. So her youngest boys are twins.
Yes.
And they just had a birthday,
yes,
right?
Yes. They just turned 5.
Yes. Yeah, so they just turned 5. So we're going to dive into, there's so much right there that we could talk about. But Monica, we're so excited that you are here. I grabbed Monica. She's in town for just a little family rest, and her husband is at a training, and so I kind of slipped it under the rug there. I was like, you want to be on the radio show? And she was like, what? And I was like, okay, the date that you're going to be on the radio show is,
oh my goodness,
today.
I almost passed out.
But you had to have this in the back of your mind that if I go down there, she's going to put me on program.
I thought about it, but I didn't think you would do it.
I absolutely did. So we are so excited. So this is the first question, and I we talked about this, so I guess both of us could do this. But we're very close, and even though we've always wanted to live in the same place, right, but we don't ever live in the same state,
right,
ever.
Never.
Ever. But we're very close. We keep in contact with each other, and Monica's great about that, about flagging me down. So what's your favorite memory of us growing up?
My favorite memory is...
I don't know what you're going to say. No. This better be good. Flattering is, for me.
No, well, just spending time on grandma's land.
Yes.
When we...
That is true.
Grew up on the farm.
Yes.
And looking at the cows,
yes,
and the chickens,
yes,
and playing in the dirt and the farm cats. And
those cats we found.
Yes.
And babied whether they wanted it or not.
Yep. So just having a good time.
Yes.
Good time out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I remember one time I closed your elbow in the door. Remember?
Yeah, and I had the scar to prove it.
You still have that scar?
Yes, I still have it.
I'm sorry about
there
that.
There it is.
Oh, my Lord. Yep, there it is. Oh, goodness. We were washing one of Grandmom's cars, I guess.
We were helping.
We
air
were
quotes.
Yeah, Grandmom had, I don't know how many acres of land out there
six,
in the country.
I think it was around 6.
6 acres. Mm-hmm. And so we were just like let loose. Like,
yep,
we could, you know, just roam and do whatever. But yeah, one time we found these stray cats, and I guess we weren't afraid of them. Should
no,
we have been afraid of the cats? They were kittens?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And we were taking care of them every day. I don't know what happened to them. They probably ran away to get away from us and all of our mothering. but yeah, we were trying to help Grandma wash her car. And I guess I must have been cleaning the inside window or something.
All
and
I know,
then I
that
slammed
door
the door. Yeah,
and
so
my
goodness.
Elbow was caught.
And she went running and ran inside. I'm after her, running after her. Said, you okay? And she's screaming, Grandma! She took my elbow off. But Grandma was like the queen of home remedies.
Yes. So, aloe vera and all kind of hyssop. And
yes. That stuff she had in that green jar that was for cows. She puts it on cows,
I can't remember the
udders,
name of
whatever
it.
Those are.
Bag balm.
Yes, bag balm.
That she, went on everything.
She put that on everything.
Everything.
And it would help you. It would heal you up. She was like, this is the strong stuff.
Yeah.
So we won't even talk about when you were sick and she would make that
concoction.
Yes, on the stove in the skillet. That would burn going down.
Oh, God.
And then it would take your fever away. And
you'd get better.
It really did help you. So grandma was, we always say this, we come from a long line of very strong women.
Yes.
Very strong women. Get it done. So I guess we'll let that stand. I don't know what else I would share about our childhood.
Well, I mean, it was almost like every other year, every couple years,
we would come down here
mm-hmm. and then you guys would come up to New Jersey mm-hmm. and then we would just kind of alternate mm-hmm. until we got older.
Yeah. I love that you all had a camper. We thought, the three of us, me and my two brothers, that was just so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I don't know if y'all loved it. Did y'all like the camper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, growing up, I had some really good memories with, you know, my dad, and it wasn't a straight trip, so we would always stop at different campgrounds and spend the night here and spend a couple of days, and then eventually we'll make it to you all. So.
Yeah.
So it was
that was so much fun. Y'all would come down in the camper. I can't remember, did they ever let us sleep in the camper when you all came down?
I think
we would have to sleep in the house.
I was happy to just get
be
out.
Be in the house.
Yeah.
Right, get out of the camper. Yeah, and we wanted to get in the camper.
Yeah. But yeah, it was really, really good memories. And then just flying down, like, you know, I would just fly down on my own and just spent that time with you all.
Yeah.
And then after you and Roosevelt met and got married and all that stuff,
weddings. Right.
And so it was a good time.
Yeah. We've really maintained a close friendship and relationship. And we've always been a blessing to each other, even though we've been so far apart. We've really shared our lives together. And so I would love for you, Monica, to share your testimony, just any and all parts that you feel, small parts, big parts that you feel comfortable sharing with everyone, because I know that your life and the things that you've learned through and grown through and lived through would bless so many people listening.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm originally from New Jersey, little town called Willingboro. And I have an older brother, and he's almost 5 years older than me. And born and raised, high school, same house and everything. And then I ended up, I think, was it 28, I think, around that time, I ended up meeting my first husband at the time. And and then that was the first time I left home, you know, other than college. But I went to college in the state, so I was able to come home quite often.
Right.
But where I really left home and started adulting on my own, and then about 2.5 years, and actually I moved to Virginia, and about 2.5 years into that, I ended up unfortunately getting a divorce from that particular relationship, and then between jobs and buying my own home, and fast forward, I ended up meeting my husband, and we have a pretty fun story.
Yeah, right.
You know, we met and married and got engaged all in the same place, also in Virginia.
Right.
And then we ended up moving to Maryland, and that's where we bought our house and we had our kids. He unfortunately had to get deployed to Afghanistan, but, you know, thank God that he came back, and we were able to continue our story, which we're doing now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what did you learn during that period of the transition after your first marriage, and when you were basically putting all the pieces of your life back together? Like, what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about the Lord during those years?
I think, well, to be honest, me and God were having an argument. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just so broken. I was really broken after the divorce. I was lost. I was in between jobs. I ended up getting laid off. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I was trying to, you know, my parents lived in North Carolina. Would I go back to New Jersey? Would I go back to North Carolina? Would I come to Texas? Mm-hmm. Everything was in the air, and I was broken. Mm-hmm. I was hurt. There were, you know, I kind of just dropped off. Like, I didn't want to have a relationship with God because mm-hmm. I was angry. I was upset. I was like, you know, how did I go through this whole marriage, this whole relationship for it to end up like this?
Right.
So, yeah, he and I were having a
having a
difference of opinion. And then I went into I was hurting so much that I was making some really poor decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably drinking a little more than what I should, mm-hmm. having inappropriate relationships, because I felt like, hey, if the person who was supposed to love me the most doesn't,
mm-hmm.
then why should I love me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really, I was spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go back and I think back about what God had, he kept me through all of that.
Yes.
And like, I almost equate it as if I was, you know, trying to jump out of his hand,
mm-hmm.
he would catch me with his other hand.
Yes.
It was like a constant, you know, he was just catching me. And even though I was, you know, going against him. But it wasn't until I had purchased my own home. I had to rehab this home. This home had a fire. It was abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And I started, we had a wonderful neighbor who came, who was a construction manager. His name was Kevin. And this particular time, he wasn't busy with a project, and he was able to work on my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come in after work. And I kind of used that house as a way that I was repairing that house. I was kind of repairing myself,
mm-hmm.
and my spirit. And then during that same time, I started to go to a program with divorce care.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had shared that with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I was mad. I was still mad. Like, why, you know, do I have to even go to this?
Right.
And, you know, it took me like two sessions
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to kind of start to see the light again. But yeah, it was hard. But just thinking back, that even through that difficult time, even knowing that God is, he's not afraid of our, you know, rebellion,
right,
or he's
right.
not, he already knows,
right.
you know, what we're going to do, but he just really had his hand. I mean, even from the time I had to find a place to stay for 6 months,
right.
He just lined up the people, the guys that moved my house or, you know, moved me. And I mean, when I think back, it was a hard time, he was still with me.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That was something, I think one of the things that no matter what, God is going to be with us. And
yes.
he's not afraid of our tantrums.
Right.
You know? And one of the things, you know, I just learned about myself was just to, you know, don't put anything past yourself. You're capable of doing things that you don't think you are,
right,
you know,
right.
you're not so holy that you're not, that you can fall into, you know, different situations that might not be as pleasing to the Lord,
mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, but God is awesome. So
he is so loving.
Yes.
And I think even for myself, I'm the Lord is just now opening my eyes to kind of, you know, where our country is right now, and everybody's, you know, there's so much division.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is teaching me and literally sending me to places. I was reading just the other day in a textbook that I'm teaching for Visible Music College in Dallas is for the spiritual formation class. Mm-hmm. And in the textbook, it literally lists all of the people in the world that God created that he loves. Mm-hmm. And this list is of people that maybe the church has written off, you know, neighborhoods have written off these people. Mm-hmm. But it starts the chapter saying these are all the people that society will tell us that need to be over here, away from us. Keep right. these people away from our children. Keep, you know, keep some distance. The Lord created all of those people.
Right.
Loves them so very deeply.
Yeah.
And loves us and can handle our situations. Yeah. Because, you know, we and the whole family was, and hopefully you felt this, the whole family was rallied around you. The whole family was like eyes wide open.
Right.
Very concerned. You know, everybody was praying. Everybody was
oh, yeah.
reading scripture. Everybody wanted you to come live with us.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
everybody was
to.
Like, come live with us.
I wanted to. And I mean, there were times where, I mean, it was a storm where my mom, she drove from New Jersey at the time mm-hmm. in a storm to come see me because I was just spiraling. I was mm-hmm. just in a really, really bad spot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, God is... He's gracious. He knows what is ahead of us.
Yes.
And
yes.
even though we can't see it at the time, mm-hmm. You know, I just kind of felt like, you know, like, what is going on?
Right.
I just
right.
didn't
How
know.
In the world?
Yeah.
You know, because this was a good guy. It wasn't like there was no, you know,
no signs.
Scandal.
No.
You know, this was a
no.
whole family, our family, his family.
Yeah.
We put, you know, put this together ourselves, mm-hmm. had blessing services, prayed
Everything.
Over the whole thing. There wasn't anything.
I tried to go the right way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when it just flopped, I was
yeah.
just devastated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think, you know, things just, I guess people get off track sometimes,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. ourselves included.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, God knows us. He already orders our steps. We don't
yes.
know why. I don't know, you know, whatever lessons that I had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I wouldn't have learned them any other way.
Right.
I don't,
right.
you know,
right.
I just have to really just trust
right.
the sovereignty
mm-hmm.
of what God has for my life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we have to do that. We just have to trust God.
Yeah.
We don't have the answers, and we may not know the answers on this side, you
right.
know, of life.
Right.
But we trust God, and we learn more about ourselves, like what you said,
yeah.
that we are stronger and more capable of being the people that God has called us to be, more stronger than what we think we are.
Right. Right.
He's more capable. The Lord is more capable
right.
Than what we think he is.
Right.
And he can do more through us and for us
mm-hmm.
than we could ever imagine.
Yes.
And what I like about our relationship with God was once we get to a place when we figure out, okay, Lord, you can do this much, like this is great. Like
right.
you can do this much. My mind can fathom this.
Right.
So now I'm going to do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, he can do so much more than that. You know, it's just our mind that's being expanded and expanded
right.
and expanded.
Right.
To know him more.
Right.
But there is so much there is redemption in this story because when you met Jonathan, your husband,
yes.
it was like the Lord fast-forwarded your life.
Yes.
And, you know, so I know we need to take a break. So we're going to take a break and then we'll come back with everyone and share, you know, the Lord brought beauty, you know, out of the situation.
Yes.
So let's take a break, everyone, and we will be right back in just a minute.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. And we have been chatting with Monica Wellington, who is my cousin and is in town, my first cousin. Yes. Everybody asked me that. Well, which, okay, she's first.
Yes.
This is first cousin.
First.
We've been cousins all our lives, and of course, and been very close all our lives. And so thank you so much, Monica, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been going through and just talking about the goodness of the Lord and how he's just showered you with love and kept you and kept you and kept you.
Yes.
And so, well, let's get back into your testimony. So when Roosevelt and I came up, I believe, to see your house.
Yes.
That you had, you know, rehab. Mm-hmm. Yes. And brought it back to life. A gorgeous house. It was like three levels.
Yeah, it was a townhouse. Yeah.
So three-level townhouse in a beautiful part of town. And that's when we met
Jonathan.
Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's when we met Jonathan. And you all were just dating.
Yes.
Just started dating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he was wonderful. My funny story is that, can I tell my funny story?
Oh, God, what is it? Yes, go ahead.
So we come, you know, to visit Monica, and I think you had taken like a couple of days off from work.
Yeah,
maybe
so.
You had to work some, and then you took a couple of days off.
Yeah, I think so.
So we had planned to go, we were driving into D.C. Mm-hmm. Your mom had just had was it a hip or knee surgery? Knees.
No, that was a while ago. The knee surgery.
The knee surgery.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like she had just had the knee surgery and she was better. And we were going to go to D.C. every day. Am I putting two trips together? We're going to go to D.C. and see like some museums. Do some sightseeing.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, we definitely did
the
sightseeing. Yeah.
So, and we met Jonathan at because you all both worked in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
So we met him. Mm-hmm. And then Monica said, well, we won't see him anymore
right.
for the rest of the trip because he has to work.
Yeah.
Isn't this funny?
Yeah.
So because he has to work. And she took off from work.
Right.
So her mom and her dad, we were taking the train maybe into D.C. or we drove. I can't remember.
I think we drove.
We were driving.
But then I think we took the train.
In D.C.,
right.
Yes, to wherever
right.
we were going to go.
Right, we went to the National, I think
all the monuments,
yeah.
The Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. The Lincoln Memorial, the Monument, Capitol.
The Capitol, yes. So we were taking our kids, Naomi and Roosevelt, around to see the things, and I still got great pictures from that trip.
Oh, yeah.
And so Monica said, well, we won't see Jonathan anymore on this trip, but it was, you know, great to meet him and everything. Lo and behold, like every single day, and when I mean every single day, I mean every single day we were there. We were in D.C. He would go to work, finish work, and call and say, so where are y'all? And we were like, we're at the Lincoln Memorial. And he would hang up. And then after a while,
he would show
yes,
up.
Yes, he would just walk up. And that was like every day. And so he did this every day. After like the second day of him doing that, Roosevelt said, he really likes Monica. You need to tell her that he really likes her because he's going out of his way mm-hmm. to spend time with her family and to know us and all this
yep.
all this stuff. So we thought that was so funny. So she was like, no, we just started dating. It's not, you know. It's
yeah.
not what not. And I was like,
I think
it down. It's a little bit more than nothing. Because he's everywhere. So, and he was just so wonderful. Honestly, when I came back home to Texas, I told my mom, I said, he reminds me of Ollie. Like, mm-hmm. he reminds me of a member of our family. You know, I really like him. Roosevelt really liked him. Everything. Of course, we were like, take it slow. We don't even,
right.
you know, we have no... You know,
right.
We're not making any proclamations. Take it slow and it's slow. But, you know, he's really a good guy. And so you all got married. Y'all decided to get married because you're going to do a wedding and all. We were going to come on up. And then you decided this is what the Lord wants. We're going to do it.
Right.
And y'all did it. It was a beautiful wedding. You sent out the pictures to everyone.
Yeah.
And then how many years later
did the Bambino start? Because he was deployed. He was about to be deployed.
Yeah, I found out that I was pregnant. I was 7 weeks pregnant, and he was going to leave in, 3 weeks or something? Yeah.
He was about to leave, and you will. But the thing was, he was about to leave for a year, right?
Close to it. Okay. I think it was like 10 months. It ended up being 10 months.
Yeah, you know, y'all were really trying to start your family before he left. And it seemed like it wasn't going to happen. And then the Lord was like, well, you've been pregnant for 7 weeks, actually. And did not know
it. Yeah, I just knew something was wrong. I'm like, something's not right. And, you know, but it was a wonderful surprise. You know, I cried so bad that the lady in the doctor's office was like, are these happy tears? Or are these? I was like, they're happy.
Yes, the Lord was just really gracious with the timing of everything. When it looked like it wasn't going to work out, it completely worked out. Alexis is wonderful.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So she's six. Yep. And then, what was it, about 13 months after that? It was about 13 months between?
About 17.
17.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Between, the Lord blessed you all again.
Yep.
And you were pregnant again.
Yes.
And then I remember when you called me to tell me after the sonogram and whatnot, I was in the car and you kept saying, they're good. The babies, they're good.
Everything is,
you know, good. They are. And so I'm listening. And then I said, why do you keep saying they are? You've got more than one baby? And she was like, yes, we actually have twins, boys.
Yes.
So Alexis is six. Jaden and Jared are five.
Yeah, they just turned five.
And so you all have a great household.
Yes.
What we love about it here in Texas, my mom said, the Lord redeemed all that time. Just
all
gave them
it.
Three kids right in a row. It's done.
Yep.
Like, you know, there's nothing to feel sad about. Like, the Lord just turned it all around.
Yeah, I didn't think I was, you know, not say recoup or ever get married again, mm-hmm. but I just wasn't looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jonathan came along, you know, I was scared. I was like, I don't want to go, mm-hmm. you know, down this road again.
Right. I remember you saying that.
Especially, you know, after trying to do everything the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing that stood out with Jonathan when we realized, hey, this relationship is going to be a little, you know, more serious than mm-hmm. Just casual dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he told me, he was like, take whatever time you need.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm going to be here.
Yeah,
he just kind of just set my heart at ease.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, okay, I can take my time. I don't have to rush but I remember that like it was yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
that was a turning point for me to kind of exhale and say, okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's the kind of guy, he had taken his time in his life anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he focused on his career and got his career to where, you know, he really wanted it to be. And he's still like a kind of a focused type
absolutely.
Personality.
Yep.
So he was like, I'm not going anywhere.
He's focusing me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like all over the place.
So am I. Yeah. So the Lord said exactly, you know, what you needed.
Yes.
For the leader of your family. So I was wondering, having lived through all of this spectacular life that you've lived, what she's laughing.
Serious.
It is. It's it is spectacular.
I'm just a little girl from New Jersey.
I know. Just blessed. What would you say to teenagers? Because I have a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I have a teenager almost about to leave high school and go into college. What would you say to teenagers who are just beginning dating and, you know, thinking about that whole world, taking that whole step? What would be your message?
Go slow.
There you go.
Take your time. Find out who you are. Find
mm-hmm.
out what you like. Travel, do all those things, and not get so caught up into, you know, a relationship that can distract from you know, from you mm-hmm. learning who you are and who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that was something I think I missed that boat growing up. Mm-hmm. I was in a long-term relationship in high school, like between that, like my senior year in high school through college, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I was just engrossed in that relationship. But I think that it had to end, mm-hmm. Because I don't think that God was getting everything that he needed from me.
Mm.
Really, because mm-hmm. I was so engrossed in that relationship mm-hmm. and trying to propel that one, thinking, hey, that relationship, that's, you know, the person that I'm going to marry.
Mm-hmm.
But it just turned out that I would just recommend that folks just go slow.
Yes.
Just take
yeah.
your time.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Yeah.
Just find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's. You just have to.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
then I think you'll be a more well-rounded person.
Yes.
So when you do get into that relationship, you know what you'll stand for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you won't stand
mm-hmm.
for. You'll have a more of a foundation of yourself and not get lost. I think that's what happened in that first long-term relationship was I got lost to who I was
mm-hmm.
trying to please, you know, the other person.
Right. Right.
And you cannot do that, especially in, you know, a marriage relationship. You still have to be true to who you are.
Amen.
And still, when you come together with your spouse or your mate, you can still bring a whole person,
right.
you know, to
right.
that union.
Right.
As opposed to you just being a shell and trying to be filled up with, you know, with that other person's
right.
dreams and aspirations.
Right.
You have
right.
to have your own as
right.
you go forward.
Yes. You know, I was telling my back to my visible music college students, I was telling them as we were going through a lesson that the Lord puts great people together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, y'all spend this time getting great.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to get great. The Lord will bring you another great person.
Yes.
But he can't bring the great person if you're not great yet.
Right.
And so you know, you got to know who you are. I preach this. Know who you are.
Yes.
Know the message of your life. Know. And if you can't figure that out, think about some people that need help and go help them.
Right.
And then the Lord will just start
open
leading
up.
And
yep.
guiding you. You know,
yep.
yeah. Yeah. That's always, you know, a great place to start. I would like to know, even your daughter is six,
yeah,
and she's, you know, she's all about her daddy. She loves her daddy, and she loves her mama. And, you know, moms always want to, well, I think the moms always want to make sure daughter's close to daddy so that she's getting the love and the attention that
yes.
she needs from daddy. And so she doesn't feel like somebody outside needs to give me the attention that daddy's supposed to give me.
Correct.
But what even is your message to your daughter now as she's six, growing up, finding out who she is
mm-hmm.
and her independent, because she is very independent and she
yes,
is the
Lord.
Boss of the household and she runs it and she makes those boys.
Oh, yeah. That's my little mama right there.
Do what she says to do. She makes them do what she says to do. So even at six years old, what is your message to little Alexis as she's growing up?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want her to, you know, develop that relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that no matter what path she takes or my boys take, whatever decisions that they make, I think ultimately if they can always fall back on God
mm-hmm.
and having a relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
he'll direct their paths,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, and keep them safe, or he'll always have a part in their heart, whatever decision that we make, because we all, you know, we make good decisions,
mm-hmm,
bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they will consult him and allow him to, you know, to guide them and guide
mm-hmm.
their lives. So
mm-hmm.
that's what I want my kids to to get.
Yeah, that is great. And they right now, I know you all have them in a Christian school, and they're learning the ways of the Lord there, learning the ways of the Lord at home.
Yes.
Which in my parents, we were in a Christian school as well,
right,
growing up. And so that's just another wonderful, you know, thing that the kids are getting to experience. I love it. And honestly, Roosevelt does the same thing with our kids I haven't thought about this without even bringing it up to him. But because we accepted Christ at home when we were growing up.
Okay.
Like my dad we had Friday night Bible study when we were young, and he was teaching us the Bible. And then what was funny, my parents would give us, after we do our Bible study, they would say, is there anything that you want to say to us? Are we mistreating you all in any way? And all three of us had like specific things that they were doing to mistreat us. But that was like an open space. You could say anything. There's no telling what we said during that time. But I don't even remember things. I just remember when they said, are we mistreating you all anyway? All three of our hands would go up. We have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think as many ways as you can get for your children to learn the ways of the Lord, do it.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not Christian, you know, they're not in Christian school. A lot of the ISDs have I'm about to say sixth quarter, but it's fifth quarter.
Okay.
Where the, you know, they have ministry time after the football game. And so they're getting it that way at school, and you're teaching them at home, and you're taking them to Sunday school at church, and they're just getting it from all these ways, and they're just living it in their life. So that all they know is I'm just living it.
Right.
I'm just living
it.
This is the way I live. We love the Lord. Our household is a household that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ as the authority.
And just those fundamental things, being kind.
Yes.
Being loving, being caring. And I think having the kids, even though they're so close up, they're so close together in age, they're learning from each other. They're learning those life skills of how to treat people, you know, treat your brother and sister, you know, this way, treat them that way.
Right.
And so it's been a good training ground for all of us.
That's good. So what is is the message to your sons? Is it the same as the message that you are sharing with Lexi right now?
As much as I think they understand, at five,
because
they're busy.
They are.
But, you know, I can tell even just with, just going to their school, they're learning, learning about Jesus, and, they'll come home. I mean, it comes out in weird ways, but you know it's there. Like we were watching, they like to watch these roller coaster clips on YouTube, how they ride the roller coasters, and they had one that was just climbing, and one of the boys were like, is it going up to see Jesus? And I was like, but it's like just the simple things of life that they're getting.
Yeah.
And by all means, we're not perfect, but we're doing the best we can, because it gets overwhelming sometimes.
Well, I know that every woman who's listening that has younger kids, if Vicky were here, she would say littles. That's what she says. Who has littles? How do y'all schedule? How do you keep a weekly schedule with a 6-year-old and 2 5-year-old boys?
And everybody's in sports.
Yes.
And playing soccer.
Yes. And mom and dad both work.
Yep,
you know,
they both work. I think, Jonathan, I think having his military background and just his personality, I mean, he really set up a structure, in our house. And, we have some give and bend to it, because you have to, because kids get sick and things like that. But I thank God for him, because I would be all over the place if, he having that strict bedtime, making sure meals are planned and cooked on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still working on that part.
But I mean, you teach me with that. I didn't even think of meals on Sunday until you brought it up to me.
Yeah, having to meal prep, because throughout the week, it's like it's on and popping. It's right. Like we're, you know, get up, go to school, mm-hmm. come pick them up. Then, you know, they only have a few minutes before we have to get ready for practice. Mm-hmm. And just being prepared, being forward thinking. And I think, you know, Jonathan definitely taught me a lot about that and taking that leadership stance with, yeah, you know, yeah, with the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Preparation, yeah. That's probably not my, well, not probably. That's not my.
Well, we are related, right?
Right.
Poor Roosevelt, poor Jonathan.
I know, Lord. Yes, Roosevelt and Naomi in our household tend to be extremely prepared.
Okay.
They have their stuff ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. If something happens out of the ordinary, especially if a teacher says, well, Naomi didn't turn in such and such, that's very weird
right.
for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's very much structured. Mm-hmm. Little Roosevelt and myself, that's another. I'm learning structure.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm learning structure. So what's a piece of wisdom that you would share with other women that you've learned in life?
I think just really learning to trust God, mm-hmm. like no matter what, because our lives take all these twists and these turns, mm-hmm. and, you know, you just don't know which direction it's going, and just kind of putting up your hands, because us women, we like to keep our hands
right.
on and kind of, you know, kind of control. Yeah, mm-hmm. and just say, like, all right, you know, we got to go this way, we got to do it this way, mm-hmm. and, you know, sometimes it's just, we got to let go. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll worry ourselves to death,
yes,
you know,
yes.
trying to, you know, control, and I just try to, you know, put my hands up, you know, mm-hmm. and just trust that we are where we are mm-hmm. at for this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think when my children were younger, I did worry myself mm-hmm. to death, mm-hmm. you know, almost to death.
Mm-hmm.
Just worrying about everything and how's this going to work out and how they're going to grow up and how, you know, all of these different things. So that is a really great message. I want to share with everyone this scripture, Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And we just hope that everyone is listening today, that they would just know how much the Lord loves you.
Yes.
And how he will keep you and how you can trust him. And it's okay to let you know, take your hands off, like mm-hmm. Monica said.
And he can redeem the time.
Yes, the Lord redeems everything. I'm so thankful for that. So thank you so much, Monica, for being here.
Having me.
I truly appreciate
it.
Everyone, our radio show, Every Heart, Every Woman Radio, is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can get all of the information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can get all of our information from our website, EHEWradio.com. Follow us on social media at EHEWradio. And go to iTunes. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can catch up on any past podcasts. We thank you for leaving us a 5-star rating as well. I am your host, Carla Nivens. Everyone have a great week.
Every heart.